Thanks for listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Welcome to Mad as Hell in America, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. No, just kidding. Not brought to you by 5-Hour Energy, but my 5-Hour Energy is kicking in, which has put me in a perfect head to bring you a great show. We have a really, really great, maybe a little controversial show for you today. David Swanson will be here in the second hour to really bring a hard-hitting conversation about all that's happened this week. We're going to ask some really tough questions. Questions that need to be asked and answered by and for all of us. We also have some great news from Vermont. Vermont has passed in both houses a single-payer bill. There's a little controversy over the term single-payer, but by all intents and purposes, it is a single-payer bill. It is going to Governor Shumlin's desk, and Deb Richter from Vermont Healthcare for All will be here to give us the good news and tell us what's going on. And in the third hour, we're going to just do Mother's Day. I'm going to talk a little bit about my mother. I want you to call in and talk about your mother. Kat and Al will be here. That's Kat Jarboe and Al Nowakowski from the Windy City of Chicago. They will be here with some profiles of women that they admire. And in the first hour, no guests, just conversation. I want your calls. This is AM 620 KPOJ. The phone numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. And we want to hear from you here. We want your calls. Because I don't know if you've heard, but Osama bin Laden is dead. Did you hear that? Oh, of course, I'm kidding, because if you haven't heard it, you're living on another planet. But how did you hear about it? When did you hear about it? I think it's going to go down in the history books as one of those things of where were you when, right? Like the generation before us, where were you when Kennedy was shot? Where were you when you heard that Osama bin Laden was dead? For me, I was washing dishes and a friend called me and told me to turn on the TV and then just hung up. And this is what I heard the president say.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. The American people did not choose this fight. It came to our shores and started with the senseless slaughter of our citizens. After nearly 10 years of service, struggle, and sacrifice, we know well the costs of war. We will be relentless in defense of our citizens and our friends and allies. We will be true to the values that make us who we are. And on nights like this one, we can say to those families who have lost loved ones to al-Qaeda's terror, justice has been done.
All right. So I think my first reaction was probably pretty typical. I mean, I felt relief. How is it not a good thing that the people of this earth will never have to hear from this bastard again? But as I continued kind of washing my dishes, something was bothering me. And not because I have a soft spot in my heart for mass murderers, because I don't. But because the president used the word justice. I mean, is that what this is? Was this justice? I mean, I was right with him all the way up to that point, and then he lost me. And to be honest, I did a kind of slow burn on it, because the way I've always defined justice is with a capital J, as in righteous judgment of crimes, not assassination. I mean, and that's what this seems to be, right? I mean, I think it's fair, based on all of the available evidence, to conclude that this was an assassination mission. Now, is that the same thing as justice? Is it to you? I mean, did you get snagged by that? Because I did. And I really want to tread very lightly here, because I don't in any way want to dishonor the legacy of pain and suffering this grotesque of a man left in his wake. Because like most Americans, I still feel the pain of 9/11. This is a pain that will never go away for any of us. And for those who lost loved ones, it is a pain that none of us who did not lose people on that day can even begin to understand. And to those people, my heart is eternally with you, and my sympathies are forever at your side. But I'm still left with a question. Was this justice? Or was it an assassination? Is it possible for them to be the same thing? I mean, maybe in the movie version it is, but here, in the three-dimensional human world, where these kinds of distinctions define our moral character, it's much more complicated. Because in my mind, justice and assassination are not the same thing. And so, without thinking too much, I put out a statement on my Facebook page saying exactly that, that I want to remind everyone, because it seems our president has forgotten, that vengeance and justice are not the same thing. And quite honestly, I didn't expect the reaction I got. But man, within 5 minutes, I had 50 of the angriest comments I'd ever gotten. And while I could be accused of bad timing, and I have by some, I don't think I'm wrong here. I mean, would Martin Luther King call this justice? Would Mahatma Gandhi call what happened to Osama bin Laden justice? I don't think so, and for very good reasons. Because they believed, as I do, that justice, the kind that moves the evolution of our species forward, cannot be accomplished with bullets. And when we confuse our appetite for revenge with our hunger for justice, I think we lose something essential. Something we need to actually build the better world that we seek to live in. And that something is our own humanity, which we lay at the feet of our enemy, who continues to attack us with our own vengeance, even in death. But what do I mean by justice? I mean, isn't it justice that a man who killed thousands of innocent people take a bullet to the eyeball? Does a man like Osama bin Laden deserve a fair trial, if there is even such a thing possible for him? Does someone so seemingly inhuman deserve humane treatment? For him, I say no. He deserves none of these things. But here is my point. I think we do. Those of us left to clean up the bloody mess from his inhumanity do deserve those things, because I think justice isn't something that we afford only to the guilty. It is something we give to ourselves. And the process we go through to achieve it each and every time, defining it case by case by case, and insisting on the process for its own sake, imperfect as it is the wall of separation between us and the monsters of the world. But if we let our bloodlust, as justified as it may feel, if we allow that to forsake our commitment to the process of achieving even an imperfect justice, do we not foreclose on the possibility that someday, we might actually perfect it? Now, I know there's probably very little chance that Osama bin Laden would have been taken to an international court, because he never would allow himself to be taken alive. But that serves my point. Because Osama bin Laden would rather die than face justice, just like Hitler would rather die than face justice. And that confirms what we already know, that these people are cowards, that they hide behind violence and hatred and retribution because they do not possess the courage or character to stand and be accountable to their actions. But it also confirms something else: the power of true justice. The power of justice to transform their violence and their hatred into righteousness. For me, this is the moral ground where we plant the flag of this country, because it stands as a symbol of justice for all, even our enemies. Because that's when it's hard, man, and that's when it really counts. And so when I see my fellow Americans dancing in the streets, wrapping themselves in the flag in the name of death, I can't help but feel that they have plucked it from that higher ground and dragged it through the mud of our worst impulses. And so when the President of the United States calls an assassination, however justified he thinks it is, when he calls that justice, I think we should be very quick to correct him. Because like I said, this is not the movie version of life on planet Earth. This is the real thing, where we must measure words like justice very carefully. I mean, if you're satisfied with this result, then just be honest and call it what it is. Vengeance. Revenge. And if that's enough for you, it is your right in this country to scream it from the rooftops. But if you want to celebrate death, the death of another human being, any human being, no matter how vile, by waving an American flag, I cannot join you. Because it is not a celebration of justice. It is a celebration of revenge. And I think we're better than that. Abraham Lincoln once said that America is the world's last great hope. I agree with him. Don't you? That America is the world's last great hope. Because if we don't remind the world that vengeance will never bring peace, who will? If America doesn't carry the light of our highest potential into the darkness, who will? If you and I will not stand up for the very, very best of what a human society can be, who will? Because I believe with all of my heart that only justice brings peace. Only justice ends the cycle of violence and hatred. And only our moral commitment to the practical application of that justice, the process through which we define it each and every time for ourselves, for each other, and for the world. That process is the only thing that will set us free. And on that day, I will celebrate with you, because we will have made Osama bin Laden and his ilk of this world the dinosaurs of a new and gentler age. So what do you think? Was this justice? Does this assassination fit your definition of justice? Is this vengeance? Is it revenge? How do you define justice? And how do we differentiate justice from vengeance, justice from revenge? Do you know? I'm still trying to figure it out. I want to hear from you on this. I want to have this conversation. We have no guests in the first hour because I just want to talk to you. The numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. And I want to hear from you. Is what happened to Osama bin Laden justice or revenge? Your calls are next. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. We are talking about Osama bin Laden, and we're trying to determine if what happened was justice or revenge, justice or vengeance. I want to read a quote, and I want to see if anybody out there knows who this is. Quote, "I will mourn the loss of thousands of precious lives, but I will not rejoice in the death of one, not even an enemy. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Call me here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620, and tell me who you think that is. Let's go to Fred in Salem. Line one. Freddie, you there?
That was a great speech. I wish our president could have delivered it.
Oh, thank you very much.
What I called about was something minor, much more less significant than that. But I keep hearing the same thing, that the people there must have known. It's impossible for him to have been there without his neighbor knowing, and therefore we can't trust anything they say. Well, that may be true, but do you remember the Patty Hearst case?
Do I remember Patty Hearst? Yes, I do.
Yeah, they were looking for her. Wasn't she attending classes?
I don't remember it. I was a younger man then. I was a boy then, so I don't quite remember. But what's your point, Fred?
Well, that evidently you can hide out in plain sight. It was notorious. They found out she was attending classes at Berkeley, living a normal life. And they still couldn't find her.
Well, let me ask you something, Fred. The conversation that we're having here is this justice or revenge?
It's revenge. There's no question about it.
Are you okay with that?
We pray that it doesn't bite us in the ass someday.
I hope not, but I just don't like the direction it takes us. Fred, thanks so much for the call. We got a full board. Give us a call here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. This is Mad as Hell in America, and we are discussing, is what happened to Osama bin Laden, is it revenge or is it justice by your definition? And how do you define justice? All right, let's go to line two. Monty in Portland. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm going to bend the meter in between justice and revenge to cheap justice. I think it's been a theme throughout our history. And, was it justice? No. Was it revenge? Probably. But is it an election year? Yes. And I think the way that Obama presented it was a way that would appeal to the mass public. And make them kind of rally around the presidency.
Well, I would hate to think that this was some kind of a political move. I think that this was a strategic decision that this president has made clear that he is willing to make. I don't know if anybody out there knows about Anwar al-Awlaki, but he is a Muslim cleric and an American citizen. And the president of the United States and the Obama administration has called openly for his assassination. This seems to be policy. It seems to be that they think of it as just cleaner. But I don't know if it's cleaner. Like all shortcuts, right? Like Fred just said. Does it come and bite us in the ass? And is there such a thing as cheap justice?
Well, I agree 100% that it's policy, but I'm saying the way that it was presented to the public was a way in order to bolster approval. I mean, it is an election year, and I'm sure Obama has similar, or I'm not sure, I don't know the man, but philosophically, the way you're discussing justice,
yes,
that would be so far above the head of the Fox-watching, mouth-breathing, right-wingers.
It's true. But let me ask you one more question, Monty, and then I'm going to move on. Do you think President Obama knows that when he's saying justice, that do you think he believes differently, or do you think that President Obama actually considers this within the definition of justice?
I got a quick two-part answer for you. One, no, I don't think he really thinks it's justice.
I agree.
And the part in the speech where he lost me was when he said, we didn't bring this war to our shores. I think this is a grave reminder of what happens when foreign policy goes awry in the late 70s when we trained the Mujahideen using our CIA. Osama bin Laden was an operative then, and we don't take into account religious beliefs of these countries we're going into, and to me that's the first thing that came back and bit us in the butt, was who we were doing business with, and I hope we don't do it again.
Monty, thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. So Monty brings up a good point. Is this chickens coming home to roost in some respect? Is 9/11 somehow a function of American foreign policy, failed American foreign policy for the last 80 years in the Middle East? That is a really tricky subject. I mean, a part of me wants to say, yes, of course it's a function of failed policy. But the last thing I want to do is hurt people who've been hurt by 9/11. And I want to walk that line. I don't want to be callous. I don't want to be insensitive to people. I did that on the Facebook page, and I really hurt some people, people who had lost loved ones in 9/11. And I want us to be really careful. I want us to be really honest, and I want us to be really careful and aware. Let's go to line three. Karen in Portland, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. Justice or revenge?
Well, I think it's revenge. And I think you did a brilliant job in your verbal editorial, and I hope that you put that on the Huffington Post or somewhere else, Adam.
Well, thank you, Karen.
That gives it a lot more prominence. I think it's not justice, because justice implies an ideal and probably courts of law. And it seems to me that we would have been better served if he had gone to The Hague. It may have had to be in secret somewhere so that it wouldn't provoke attacks. But it seems to me that what we did only fits in with our penchant towards violent reaction. We've lost so much moral standing in the world with the criminal war in Iraq, with this protracted conflict in Afghanistan. We've created so many victims worldwide. I just don't see how this, in the long run, is good for us, good for our spirits. And I think maybe was that Martin Luther King, the quotation that you had?
I was just informed that this wasn't entirely from Martin Luther King, but I like it anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And
we got about 30 seconds.
It's biblical. It reminds me of the Jews coming out of Egypt when God said, don't rejoice in the deaths of your enemies. They're my children, too.
Karen, on that point, thank you so much for the call. That is a great point. We're still discussing justice or revenge. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Your calls all hour. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We're discussing bin Laden, justice or revenge. The president used the word justice to describe what happened. And I thought, does he really believe that that is justice? Has he had to convince himself of that? Or is it just something he's saying because it's politically correct? Or it's what people want to hear? But I think it's a very, very dangerous conflation. Very dangerous. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Let's go to line one. John, welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What's up?
Well, I think that, I think it's a little both revenge and justice. Got to remember that the Justice Department put a warrant post out just to be dead. And he also got to remember he killed 3,000 people. And one of my friends was in the towers that went down. So, and I was on that morning. I was in my living room watching the towers go down in just horror.
Well, he
killed all these people deserve to die.
Well, the question that I'm asking is it justice or was it an assassination? I don't think you can have justice and revenge. I think it's like being a little bit pregnant. There's either justice or revenge. And I don't think we can build a hybrid. I think we have to stand.
Remember I said that I heard on the news that the Justice Department had a wanted poster on him just to be dead. And he killed 3,000 people. It is justice for him to be dead. He killed babies. He killed children. He killed mothers. He killed fathers.
I'm not disputing that he was a monster. I'm not disputing that he was a monster. And my heart goes out to the people who lost loved ones. But my question is, can justice be achieved with a bullet? Can justice be achieved at the butt of a gun with violence? I don't think. I think that violence begets violence. I think it encourages the cycle of violence. So I think we got to take a stand here, John. I don't think you can have a little bit of justice, you know, and a little bit of revenge in the same pot. I just don't. I think we have to take a stand. That's my call. John, thanks so much for the call. Let's move on. The number's here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. Is what happened to Osama bin Laden justice or revenge? Give us a call here. We got one line open. Christine, line two. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Hey, love your show.
Thank you.
Love you guys. You know, Mad as Hell in America, and it's a little disingenuous, isn't it? Make such a hard line, mad as hell, and we got to have a perfect division between justice and revenge. I mean, everybody's right.
How is that possible? What do you mean everybody's right?
Everybody that's called in has had a legitimate point, but so far nobody's brought up the comparative of what the actual guys were doing in there. that they actually carried out a raid that was so carefully planned that they didn't have to kill everybody, they didn't have to bomb it.
That's
they
right.
actually saved most of the people. The gunman, when the woman moved toward him in an assaultive way, probably trying to get out, but in any case, he only shot her in the leg. That's deliberate.
Right, right, right.
And yet the other two shots were at angles, I believe.
Right.
So that he, in fact, he may have been, you know, slightly tilted. I think this raid was so carefully done.
And so what do you think? There is no perfect... But what was the mission directive?
Well, you can't call it revenge in the purest sense.
Right, I think that's fair.
You can't call it... justice, except in the larger perfect sense.
What I can call it is assassination, because I think you bring up a very good point.
Yeah, but
so is that how we achieve justice? Is it possible to achieve justice through assassination? That's the question.
Okay, the human question is you can't achieve perfect justice or perfect revenge, either, because we are imperfect,
right?
And revenge is always wrong.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point, which is that justice is imperfect. But my point is that we have to... go try to insist on practicing the process through which we define justice each and every time. That is what helps us refine it.
It would have been impossible to bring him.
He was unarmed.
I'm sorry?
He was unarmed.
There were weapons in the room.
There were weapons in the room, but at the moment, he was unarmed.
Okay, and you're still considering this to be like a business meeting where everybody had a chance to...
No, I'm not. No, I understand. These guys did their job perfectly. So my question is, what was the mission directive?
You're saying they didn't do their job perfectly because I don't think they went in there just to kill him.
Oh, I absolutely do.
Well, what do you know?
It's only an opinion. Christine, thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. You bring up a lot of great points. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. We've got a line open. What do you think the mission directive was? I mean, was it, if you can capture him, do it? I'm not basing this on fact, but just on the available evidence. It seems to me that it was very clear. Go in there, kill every man in the room, wound the women, and disable the situation. And they did it with absolute precision. Nancy, line 3, welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What's up, Nancy?
Welcome to you, Adam. I think that the death of one person, Osama bin Laden, who happens to be a mass murderer, his death perhaps prevented many more deaths. Because if they had captured him, I think it would have been solid war until there was a resolution.
So what your point is that if we had captured him and brought him, say, to The Hague for the International Court, something that George Bush turned his back on because he himself, I think, has committed crimes against humanity and might be accused of international crimes. There are countries where if he steps on there, they're going to arrest him. So that's why he turned his back on it. But what if we turned toward it? And what if we did capture him and bring him to The Hague? You're saying that would have created much more death and destruction.
Yes, I think so.
And so is that a reason not to strive for justice? Is that a reason to abandon justice? This is cleaner. I mean, the words that they're going to use for why they did it the way they did it was, it's cleaner. This was just cleaner. It would have been messy. Justice is messy, right? It's messy.
War is more than messy, Adam. War is devastating death to innocent people. And I think that, you know, on a minor scale, they would not have given up to fight until...
But they're not going to give up now. Why are they? Do you think they're going to give up now? I mean, Osama bin Laden, for all intents and purposes, was just a figurehead for Al Qaeda. I mean, he was not somebody who was in there on the operational day to day. He had become just a figurehead. They're still out there.
An inspiration.
An inspiration. And I agree. And let's take that inspiration and let's lock it up and let's put it through the system by which and through which we achieve and accomplish responsible guilt. We don't assume guilt and then assassinate. That's my point. Nancy, thanks so much for the call. Dennis in Clackamas, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Adam, it's a pleasure. First of all, it seems to me that you're ignoring the human condition. We are, in fact, a violent species. Always have been, while we're striving not to be. I think we're going to be for a long time. So I'd like to remind you, Adam, that I did not hear this discussion when the Israeli Mossad hunted down every last Munich Olympic murderer. over a 10-year period. This is the human condition, and you're using arguments of Abraham Lincoln's statements and applying them to the 21st century.
Well, I mean, do they only apply in Abraham Lincoln's time? I mean, aren't there some transcendent human truths here that justice is something that we are evolving towards and that it's not something that can be achieved with violence? Isn't that true a thousand years ago as it is right at this moment? I mean, why is it less true because it's the 21st century?
Absolutely, and the evolution is hopefully going forward. But we're also discussing a situation where people like the cleric in Yemen can spew his hatred over technology today that was imagined even 50 years ago.
You're talking about Anwar al-Awlaki.
Yes, and he is just as effective on the Internet as if he was in a mosque in New York City preaching his hatred. So
let's stop there, Dennis. So the president has openly, and the Obama administration has openly called for the assassination of a United States citizen without any due process, who has become a radical Muslim cleric who has declared jihad against this country. So he still is a United States citizen. Now, is it okay that the president unilaterally decide that we assassinate United States citizens? Is that okay with you?
Well, under the rules of war, and I believe jihad is war, this person is a combatant, a self-declared combatant, and therefore subject to all of the available technology to eliminate him from the cyber battlefield.
So it's okay with you that without any due process at all, the president of the United States can declare assassination on United States citizens?
It concerns me greatly because a despotic United States president could declare assassination on anybody he wishes.
It's a slippery slope, Dennis. Thanks so much for the call. You know, really smart points, Dennis. I really, really appreciate it. What a bunch of smart callers. These are great calls. These are great points. These are questions that we have to ask and that we can't have definitive answers. But if we don't ask them, man, we're not doing our job as United States citizens. Jamie, line 4, welcome to Matt is Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
Hey, Adam. I agree with you about totally. And actually, on the Internet, I've seen a lot of repetition of that Martin Luther King quote and quotes from the Bible.
Well, here's what I know. Here's what I've heard, by the way, on this quote. The first part of this quote is not attributed to Martin Luther King. So here's the story on this quote. I will mourn the loss of thousands of precious lives, but I will not rejoice in the death of one, not even an enemy. That is not Martin Luther King. The following is Martin Luther King. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. That is Martin Luther King, and it's a long, weird story how it got all attributed to him. So anyway, Jamie, sorry to interrupt.
Thank you. I wanted to add another phrase.
Please.
To this discussion of what you've called assassination. It's called extrajudicial execution. And it's something that we have been opposed to in the past. We condemn death squads. We condemn we put on trial the mass murderers at Nuremberg. We cheered when the Israelis brought Adolf Eichmann to justice through the court system. When Slobodan Milosevic was brought before the International Criminal Court and Charles Taylor, etc. But somehow we have slipped into this. I think it was the Israelis that started to make it popular and, you know, targeted extrajudicial executions, that it was became public policy, that it was okay. And now our administration has adopted it. And I think it's really dangerous because you can label anyone a material aid supporter or whatever you call it of terrorism, and then decide they have to be subject to extrajudicial execution.
Absolutely. And thanks so much for the call, Jamie. This is about the imperial presidency here. And I understand we're not targeting American citizens living in this country over in, you know, Oregon, who are minding their own business or who are political dissidents. you know, to death. I'm just what concerns is the concentration of power and the unilateral nature of the way in which that power is administered. That frightens me. Extrajudicial execution reminds me of things like enhanced interrogation techniques. You know, euphemisms don't really take the edge off in my mind. Tom, line three in Tigard. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Hello,
Tom. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Thank you, Adam. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thanks for calling.
I watched this on the TV Sunday night, like probably a lot of people did. And I think what you're contending with is an intellectual issue and an emotional issue.
Yeah, great point.
I think, and I admittedly felt conflicted and kind of bad that I was enjoying the emotions and intellectually felt dirty.
Yeah. No, I understand. I had the same reaction. I mean, I feel like good. You know, that guy's gone. But then it just didn't sit right. Tom, I think you're bringing up a really good point between intellectual and emotional, but the emotional component is a very animal component. It's what we respond to in movies, and we got to be careful of that impulse. I don't know that that serves us in the long run. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Your calls still next in the last segment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. I've got a full board. We got to get through this calls before the end of the hour. I want to go to Nancy, line five. Thanks so much for holding, Nancy. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. Nancy, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Now I can. Yeah, I had to turn my own headphones up.
Okay. I agree with your original instinct. Absolutely. It was mine as well. And then my second thought was, are they silencing him?
Silencing who?
Bin Laden. What if they did bring him back and put him on trial? I mean, all the years that we had impeachment off the table because of the Bush administration and the Bush family and the Bin Laden family, I mean, there's an awful lot that has gone on that we don't know anything about.
Absolutely. Nancy, that is a great point. Thanks so much for the call. I got to get through a whole full board here. Nancy's point is a really good one. If they do, it's a lot cleaner just to off him, just to assassinate him. If they take him to a trial and the truth actually comes out, we're going to learn all sorts of things. Lots of people who don't know that we actually trained him to chase out the Soviets, that Osama bin Laden was trained by the CIA, that there are close ties between the bin Laden family and the Bush family, and that there may be lots of reasons that people don't want us to know why George Bush never took capturing Osama bin Laden seriously because of his close ties to the family. Dave, line four, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. I'm reminded of when I was a police officer and somebody said, why didn't they shoot him in the leg? And people don't recognize how difficult that really is. Mm-hmm. And my point about this is the Bush administration did the Obama administration make a calculation that capturing him was not a feasible action because of the complexity of getting him out of the country, not knowing what they were going to get into, and just decided just to assassinate him? I agree that that's an appropriate term. To solve the problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're a police officer, so you tell me. Do you think they went in there with anything other than an absolutely clear directive? I can't imagine in a dangerous situation like that that the President of the United States is going to make it the least bit ambiguous. I think it was go in there and kill him and take him out, but don't kill the women and the children. I think it was that clear. I mean, I'm completely – this is not fact-based. I am surmising this based on circumstantial evidence. Dave, thanks so much for the call. I want to move on and get everybody in here. Mark, line three, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. We got about 4 minutes left.
Okay, Adam, great job today.
Thanks.
The difficulty in all of this is that what we're hearing is a black or white question, justice or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can. It's somewhere out there. My daughter's an attorney, and I asked her before she graduated, if you ever came to a point of having to argue the law or justice, can you tell me that you would opt for for arguing for justice.
What'd she say?
She said, yes, I can. And I go, that's all I ask.
Well,
and, you know, the difficulty here is in an enlightened situation, we'd all be looking at what is so and what works. And what works is having Bin Laden not engaging in the activities that he was.
Yes.
Given he's not playing on the team where we're all in it together.
No.
You
know, they never are.
Yeah.
I mean,
but,
that's the nature of it, right?
Yeah. So what's the option? Either we go after him or we don't. In a situation like that, I don't know whether the option was to, you know, like take him out now or bring him back.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for the call. I want to move on, but I think that brings up a really good point. I don't want to steer the conversation too far away from my original point, which was, the president called it justice. The name that we give it and the language that we use to describe what happened is really the point that I want to make. I really want, is it okay to call it justice? Let's go to Hannah, line one. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. We've got about 4 minutes left.
Yes, I don't believe that it was justice. I was concerned when I heard it because it was, why didn't we just take him, you know, out there alive? We did that with Manuel Noriega and a few others. And my outrage really is the fact that we killed all those innocent men, women, and children in Iraq over
lies. Over lies.
And I want to know that there's outrage about that, too, because that was not justice either when we killed, Saddam Hussein.
Hannah, great point. Thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Sandy, line two. Welcome to Madison, Helen, America. Thanks for holding so long, Sandy.
That's okay. I just wanted to get in and say a few words.
Please.
Now, part of me really understands where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at what they did to the World Trade Center, I call that an assassination.
It was an assassination.
Our country and assassinated people with our own planes.
So do we return assassination with assassination?
An eye for an eye. An eye for an eye.
Leave the whole world blind. I got to go to some. Thanks so much for the call, Sandy. Hal, we got 1 minute left. Make a quick point, and I want to get to Jimmy. Hold on, Jimmy. I'll try to get you in.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, make it quick.
Okay, what I was going to say is it's better when we have situations like this. Why do we go after the whole damn country? Why don't we do more covert actions against the actual criminals? And I think you get more help from the local people. Because you could reward them.
You're right, Hal. Thanks so much for the call. Jimmy, you've got about 30 seconds. Lay it on me, Jimmy.
Yeah, my last comment is that I think this answer to your question is impossible to decide. I think many people are torn because they can't make up their mind whether they're going to worship at the shrine of pragmatism.
We got to go, Jimmy. That's a great point. Let's close on it. We'll be right back.